This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Welcome back. Hour number three is upon us. Myself, producer Ann, down from Minnesota.
Escaping the cold.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. It's been a joy having you today. Mark Meadows joining us now, who most of you listening, I don't have to even introduce Mark Meadows and tell you who he is, but Chief of Staff to President Donald Trump. New book, The Chief's Chief. Mark, welcome. How are you, sir?
It's great to be with you, John. I mean, everybody in the studio here is we are actually doing this. They were smiling at the lead-in, all the lead-ins that you had.
Thanks.
You're my kind of guy.
Thank you, Mark.
Tell you that.
Appreciate it. Well, and likewise, you're very welcome here and among friends, of course. And before we even get into the book and just some of your history with, you know, the presidency and everything that went on there, you know what? I woke up this morning and read some of the news, and I knew some of this even going to bed last night, but I woke up this morning thinking, you know, there is some actual hope for the Republic after all.
Well, there is some hope, and actually I'm losing my voice because I was up most of the night actually doing TV hits and commentary, wanted to make sure that I joined you, but it is a good day in America when the voice of the American people actually not only was heard in the Commonwealth of Virginia, but was heard really from coast to coast.
That's right.
With the unbelievable turnout that happened not just in Virginia, but right. New Jersey and Ohio and all kinds of places.
Well, and it was said today, and you know, I think, you know, even Andy Pate, who helps me out on Tuesdays and Fridays, we were texting today some, Mark, and really what we said and what Andy said first, but, you know, I fully agree because he's right. What happened in this particular election is, and you tell me if I'm wrong in this, but the Democrats finally admitted and said out loud what they do behind the scenes all the time, and the American public finally said, wait a minute, time out. That's not what we want. Now, we've, you know, you and I and others like us have known that for a long time, but a lot of folks in the public eye, I don't think, really understood that. But all the Democrats did this time around, they were honest, and it finally got them defeated.
Well, it did get them defeated, and you're exactly right. What happens is transparency is a good thing for conservatives. It's not a good thing for the woke left policies of so many Democrats today. And here's what we did see is over and over again, Donald Trump was on the ballot. You know, I had the honor of serving as his chief of staff, but he was on the ballot. Terry McAuliffe ran against Donald Trump, and he got voted down.
True.
And that was the only plan that he had. They have no plan. They have no really vision for America other than the twisted logic that we have so many times of what they're wanting to do in our schools.
True.
And with our economy and, sadly, with our Constitution.
Tell us about your time as, you know, chief of staff. I mean, you've got a great political history prior to that, which, you know, we could delve into as well. But really, I want to know what it was like to be chief of staff for, you know, that year plus time you had there.
Well, listen, it's like going from slow pitch softball to fast pitch major leagues. It came at me so unbelievably fast. I outline it in The Chief's Chief, some of the stories that candidly you'll only get to read about there. But here's what I did find. The president, Donald J. Trump, worked around the clock. I never realized, you know, I'd read some of the things, oh, well, his work ethic
right.
is not this. And it's, listen, I would get calls at 3:18 in the morning. I chronicle one of those where wow. I actually get a call at 3:18. He goes through this list, says, Mark, you know, get these things done. Then he's on the phone with me again at 7:30 in the morning saying, hey, did you get those things done? I said, well, sir, no one in D.C.
I went back to sleep.
Yeah. Between the time you called me and now. And yet this was a president that even when the cameras were not rolling, when reporters were not around, he was willing to put America first. And he did so with world leaders. He did so with members of Congress on both sides of the aisle. He was a guy that said, let's get it done in Trump time, not just today, but within the next hour.
If there are things that you, and again, you took over and came in on board March 2020, went all the way until he, you know, was no longer president late January the following year. So not quite a year. I said over a year, but not quite a year. The reality, though, Mark, is, you know, you came on at a time when we as a country were headed into full bore, you know, COVID territory. There were a lot of unknowns, things happening. If there were things, though, that you could have changed looking back on it now as chief of staff, what would you and what would you have advised Donald Trump to have done differently during that time?
Yeah, I would have advised him to be quick to fire. Yeah. Fire people that are not on his team.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, Dr. Fauci and others should have been let go.
Yep.
And yet, when we were leaving, the president said, Mark, I wish we knew then what we know now.
Yeah.
And that is very slow to hire, but quick to fire.
Yeah. And I, by the way, I agree with everything you just said. I wasn't there, you know, I wasn't in your shoes, but looking at it from, you know, kind of the outside in, and especially now knowing what was going on. And I just between you and I, Mark, I never had a trust of Fauci from day one. And I was talking about it even on my program all the way back in March of 2020. I just didn't like what that guy was doing, what he was saying, the amount of control that he was actually trying to throw at us as Americans, the lack of freedom that he wanted us to have. I just didn't like it at all. It just didn't smell right.
Well, John, you're 100% right, and candidly, there were a few of us in the West Wing who saw that early on. Actually, my wife agreed with you. She said, listen, there's just something that's not right. He continues to insert himself in his opinion, and that's starting to come unraveled.
Yes,
but,
it is.
Hopefully, it'll fully come unraveled, you know, if we ever get a real investigation into some of the actions that Dr. Fauci took.
Agree. And again, those not pointing blame at anybody, including the president. I mean, that was a tough time. I remember back to it. I mean, even being here daily, being on air, you know, we chose to, Charlie and I especially, chose to keep coming in, even though in most of the station, frankly, Mark, was doing work from home. We were still, you know, driving in, doing what we do daily, and I wasn't going to let COVID, you know, stop us. And I've been here pretty, unless I'm on vacation, I've been here every day since. I did not let COVID slow us down one bit. And in looking at
for me
it was just looking at the numbers and the data and who was actually, not that we want anybody to die and every death is a tragedy, and you know, we want people to live, you know, we're human beings, God created us that way, we want people to live and have full life, and it's what America's all about. And yet I didn't want to see things get shut down. I didn't want to see businesses close. I didn't want to see people losing their jobs. To me, that was far more important than worrying about the spread of COVID. You know, the virus is going to virus. It's going to do what it does anyways. And again, looking back on it, I know that was a tough time for all of you that were there trying to, you know, navigate through that. And then I also know that, you know, Trump was in a tough spot. There's only so much that we as a federal government want to be able to do. You want states to have their power. Unfortunately, states took that power and just ran away with it.
Well, they did. And I think the other part of that is when they did the 15 days to slow the spread and, you know, added a 30 days to it, my comment to all of them, I said, if we do this, what is going to be the prerequisite for opening back up? Because we'll never open back
up. You're right.
If we're, and all of a sudden, they looked at you kind of strange. And I said, you're going to end up tanking our economy.
Yeah.
You're going to, at the end of the day, I don't know how many lives that we'll actually save by doing that. You know, there was a whole lot of pushback. Even Dr. Fauci said eventually everybody will come down with COVID.
Right.
And yet the public persona of Dr. Fauci was very different.
Mark, was there talk, you know, during that time, and again, I can't ask you anything that, you know, you can't say, but to me, this whole thing was designed as a, you know, biological weapon. We're learning more and more now about how things were done at the NIH and the funding of, and the fact that it got moved from the U.S. over to Wuhan. And so many things are continuing to come out about that. And I'm one that just in my heart, but not a conspiracy theory at all. I just believe in my heart this thing was being developed as a biological weapon. I think it got released early. I don't think that it was its total intended use, but it got out, and then they used it in a way to, frankly, make sure Donald Trump was no longer president. And they did that through ways that affected a lot of people in a negative way in America. But I am one that firmly believes this was a biological weapon.
Well, when you see that, hopefully we'll get to the bottom of all of that. It's not even Joe Biden. He didn't even want to get to the place where Wuhan was, you know, where it was a lab leak, where President Trump weighed in on that early. Dr. Fauci pushed back real hard on yep. that. If you'll recall, I mean, he was acting like it could never have happened, and yet he gave false testimony to Congress.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, there's emails that are out there that if they will be, you know, they'll look at it. They'll see that not only did Dr. Fauci know, or at least he should have known, that there was a real question mark. And so our foreign adversaries are always looking for ways to disrupt America. I would get a presidential daily briefing every morning, and all the threats that were coming our way, many times I would get to see those up close and personal. And it can be a frightening thing, and what you have to do is take on you know, the adversaries as you see them. And I'm hopeful that we've learned our lesson, both economically and also how these kinds of things can be weaponized.
A couple of last questions for you, Mark, and again, I appreciate your time today. Mark Meadows, The Chief's Chief is the name of the book. Buy it, read it, you'll enjoy it. And again, it's going to come from a way different angle than some of these other, what I call Mark hit pieces that are coming out against Donald Trump. And I know from people that I know directly that know, Mr. Trump and the presidency, and were involved in a lot of that on a personal basis. And what they say, and I believe them, is that even though Donald Trump acted one way to the media and he fought hard for the American public against the media, even knowing that was one of our adversaries, frankly, as the United States of America, and I believe it still is today. What was he like, though, outside of all that when he wasn't fighting hard in the press?
Listen, he is a private individual, and yet in the book I share that personal side of him, where there's a real care and compassion for the American people. And yeah, there's a toughness to him that he brought to the job that actually I applaud.
Yeah.
And yet there was a compassionate part of him where many times he would write checks out of his own personal pocketbook to help out people in need, and he never wanted credit for it. In fact, he'd probably be mad about the fact that I'm sharing it right now with you. But in the book, I share that personal side of Donald Trump. And you're right, the left wants to cancel this book. They want to cancel everything we have because they've put out their authors and they put out their false narrative. And I can tell you that this book tells a real story about the man Donald Trump, that not only I had the honor of serving as the 45th president, but as my personal friend.
That's awesome.
I just hi, Mark. This is producer Ann, and I did meet you in 2016 at the Sentinel Summit in San Antonio, and I have a selfie with you, and we tweeted
it
out.
Oh, I love
so,
it.
Awesome.
So that was neat. But I just want to say thank you for writing your book, and I wish more people would get over the stigma of the Donald Trump toughness, because if they really knew how hard he worked for this country,
yes.
And they accused him of doing what this Biden administration is doing,
right.
The Biden administration is being the tyrants, is suffocating us and destroying our liberties. And I really believe Trump in this meme that they said, they're not really after me, they're after you.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's 100% right. Thank you for pointing that out, because you are exactly right. This was never about Donald Trump, even though everybody says it always is. He's just in the way, as he said. He
yep.
was just in the way of them coming after you and me and everybody else. And yes, they want to cancel it out. But thank you for reminding me of the selfie. And thank you for both of you for being real patriots and bringing the truth to the American people.
Mark, you're welcome. And again, as I said earlier, there's hope. I believe that after last night, and I think we're seeing a turnaround. I think you'll continue to see that as we move forward. And I guess what's next for Mark Meadows? What are you doing next, Mark?
You know, I'm working as a senior partner at the Conservative Partnership Institute here in Washington, D.C.
Nice.
Our job is to make sure that conservatives have an offensive plan, not just defensive,
nice.
To make sure that the Constitution and the American way of life is preserved. So we're going to stay in the fight and until Donald Trump decides that
awesome.
He's going to do something.
Awesome. Mark, I appreciate it. You guys are welcome, by the way, anytime, any announcements, anything you want to get out to our listeners. We cover about a 4-state region here, so anything you want us to get out, let us know. Even if it's just an announcement you want to say, you want me to say, don't even have to come on air, let me know. Get it to me. We'll make sure that happens, Mark.
Well, your friends, I'll come back and join you on a regular basis. Thank you.
Appreciate
God
it very much, Mark. Appreciate it. Have a great evening, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mark Meadows, again, he was the chief of staff for Donald Trump from March of 2020 until he was done with the presidency. The book is The Chief's Chief,